Adobe is the world's leader in creative software. Hollywood blockbusters, advertising, visual effects, web design, and even YouTube videos. Adobe is everywhere, and they've been abusing this for years. From hidden fees to stealing customers' assets to even a lawsuit from the US government. But now, a new competitor has appeared. This new foe just performed the largest IPO of 2025. What happens next might decide the future of creative software. But the strangest part is that Adobe somehow created their biggest rival, Figma. The strangest part of all of this is that it began when Adobe tried to acquire Figma. Adobe wanted Figma badly, but not for the reason you might think. The software giant has a long list of acquisitions, and one in particular reveals their true intentions, Aldus Corp. Way back in 1994, Aldus had an important piece of software, Freehand, a rising competitor to Adobe Illustrator, one of their biggest products. So why did Adobe want it? To have two illustrators to control the competition? No, Adobe wanted to shut it down. This is a surprisingly common strategy in the tech world. A big company sees a small competitor, and instead of being better, they just buy them. Even if it costs millions or even billions, it means they make more in the long run. But not everyone was happy about this. As the deal was closing, the Federal Trade Commission rushed to intervene. Adobe could keep Aldus, but had to sell back Freehand. Then, they banned Adobe from buying back Freehand until 2004 or 10 years. The FTC knew exactly what Adobe was planning, but this isn't where the story ends. Sometime later, Freehand's parent company was bought by Macromedia, and shortly after, in 2005, guess who acquired Macromedia? Adobe. They hadn't forgotten about Freehand, and quickly, customers' worst nightmare came true. Adobe owned the only two illustration programs, Illustrator and Freehand. Soon, development on Freehand mysteriously stalled. Adobe was intentionally killing the app, and it was soon basically obsolete. Users were furious. I was a huge fan of Freehand, the illustration tool that was arguably superior to Adobe Illustrator. But some weren't about to let it die. An organization called Freehand was born. 5,000 users banded together against Adobe and filed a civil antitrust complaint. The lawsuit claimed that Adobe has violated federal and state antitrust laws by abusing its dominant position. Adobe has engaged in a series of anti-competitive acts designed to kill Freehand, the dominant competitor to Adobe's Illustrator software product, instead of competing on the basis of product merit. Many fans wanted Freehand released to the open source community if Adobe wasn't going to support it, but Adobe didn't care. The lawsuit was settled out of court, and on the Freehand page, Adobe stated, "While we recognize Freehand has a loyal customer base, we encourage users to migrate to the new Adobe Illustrator." Yeah, Adobe wasn't even hiding it. They wanted everyone to use their products and nothing else. Yet, after the death of Freehand, things only got worse for creatives. Adobe secured a monopoly and it began squeezing users for everything they had. Adobe soon stopped selling products you could own and began licensing products you could lease, software as a service. Their revenue began to soar as they added hundreds of millions every quarter, but they also gained something else. With a subscription, you're paying Adobe to use their software. They own the license, which means they have all the power. This is where the problem started, or rather, the fees. Adobe offers Creative Cloud through a subscription, and even offers a 7-day trial. But things aren't as they seem. If you sign up for this trial, it says paid monthly, except it's not really a monthly subscription. It's an yearly subscription that you pay monthly. Adobe does offer a monthly subscription at $90 a month, subtly encouraging users to take the cheaper monthly option, but this is a trap. If you sign up and continue past 14 days, you're locked in, and Adobe will do everything in their power to keep you there. How? With their dreaded cancellation fee, hidden in their fine print. If you want to cancel your subscription, you will need to pay 50% of your remaining subscription upfront. But Adobe isn't very transparent about this. Users who unsubscribe are surprised to see Adobe charge them hundreds of dollars seemingly out of nowhere. Unlike other plans, you also cannot disable your plan auto-renewing. The only way is to cancel the entire plan, which causes the massive cancellation fee. The industry had changed from products you bought and owned to licensed from the Adobe overlords with predatory fees and plans. Customers hated Adobe's ways, yet it felt like there were no alternatives because Adobe had bought many of them and shut them down. Adobe had created a monopoly, and it was extremely difficult for anyone to challenge them, even including the likes of Sony and Apple with Vegas and Final Cut Pro. But things were about to get much worse. In September 2022, Adobe unveiled the next step in its grand plan, and that brings us back to Figma. Adobe was going to acquire Figma for $20 billion. This was Adobe's biggest buy in history. But first, why was everyone, including Adobe, making such a big deal about Figma? In short, Figma is a UI design tool with a focus on collaboration. It lets teams work simultaneously on designs like product pages, landing pages, app UIs, brand guidelines, and much more, similar to a Google Doc or Google Sheet. All of this you can do in Adobe, so why use Figma? Adobe is the all-in-one software company. Video editing, visual effects, audio engineering, UI design, photography, print design, anything and everything creative. But this isn't always a strength. Adobe products are feature-packed, though bloated. Anyone who's watched Illustrator crash for the fifth time knows the struggle. But Adobe wants to be your only tool, so their tools have everything. As a consequence, all their software is heavy, intense, and makes your device struggle. Figma is refreshingly focused. It's like Adobe Illustrator and XD, and that's it. It's also lightweight and even works in browser. This isn't an ad for Figma, and both platforms have their strengths. But you can see why people would flock to Figma, especially with their generous free tier compared to Adobe's oppressive hidden fees. So when Adobe announced the acquisition, Figma users got very nervous. Everyone saw the writing on the wall. Adobe wanted this competitor out of the way before it got too big. This was freehand all over again. Everything was going wrong for creatives. Another amazing product was about to be fed to the Adobe machine. But then, when all hope seemed lost, there was a ray of hope. Adobe abandoned the acquisition. But why? This would have secured them almost the entire industry. Well, they ran into some trouble. Despite both companies being American, Adobe was having trouble overseas. Since Adobe operates globally, many governments have a say, and many weren't happy. Britain's Competition and Markets Authority said the deal would harm innovation for software used by the vast majority of UK digital designers. The European Union had similar things to say, and after a full year of roadblocks, Adobe abandoned the deal. Figma was on its own once again. But as it turned out, this acquisition would be Adobe's downfall. Their greed might have created their worst enemy. When companies prepare for mergers or acquisitions, they pre-negotiate something called a reverse breakup fee. If a breakup happens, it typically hurts the smaller company if the larger acquirer backs out or can't close the transaction. So this is added to the agreement. For Figma and Adobe, the agreement said, in accordance with the terms of the termination agreement, the company will make a cash payment to Figma in the previously agreed amount of $1 billion within 3 business days following the date thereof. That's right, the termination fee Adobe paid was $1 billion. And here's the thing, the total funding Figma had raised to date was just $333 million. Figma, in one big lump sum, now had 3 times the total funding from their biggest competitor. They now had a war chest to use to fight Adobe. And not only was Figma about to turn the tide, they would go on to make history. Things couldn't be better after the breakup. For context, that $1 billion could cover 2 to 3 years of expenses before counting any revenue. But they had to be smart. They had to use it right. Figma began pouring money back into the business. Their existing products were made even better, and staff got to work on more products. In 2025, Figma unveiled a whole host of new products: Figma Make, Figma Draw, Figma Buzz, Figma Grid, and Figma Sites. The company had doubled its lineup, and its core product, Figma Design, was growing fast. 95% of Fortune 500 companies now used Figma. Looking back, one investor called the breakup the crucible moment. The people who remained in the boat really went to work. It showed up in the new products. I always believed that the company had a chance to build a much bigger business than the Adobe deal. In 2023, Figma reported $505 million in revenue. In 2024, that jumped to $749 million, up 48%. And unlike many explosive tech startups, Figma was profitable. In the first quarter of 2025, net income was $45 million with a margin of 17%. Figma was riding high, and across the ring, Adobe was facing all kinds of problems. People were getting sick of the predatory cancellation fees, and Adobe had attracted an old foe, the US Federal Trade Commission. But this time, it was a bit different. The chair of the FTC was Lina Khan, who was notably critical of big tech and monopolies. She and the FTC decided enough was enough and launched a lawsuit against Adobe. They claimed, Adobe clearly discloses the early termination fee only when subscribers attempt to cancel, turning the fee into a powerful retention tool that generates significant revenues by trapping consumers in subscriptions they no longer want. Usually, they would just go after the company, but Adobe's fees were so egregious that they went straight after executives, two in particular, the president of the digital media business and a senior vice president in digital sales. But it gets worse. Adobe was desperately trying to capitalize on AI, and to do so, they made some questionable additions to their terms. They now added a non-exclusive, worldwide, royalty-free, sub-licensable license to use, reproduce, publicly display users' content.
Your content. We may access, view, or listen to your content through both automated and manual methods. And then down here it says, our automated systems may analyze your content in Creative Cloud customer fonts, which are defined over there, using techniques such as machine learning in order to improve our services and software and the user experience.
This was especially bad for users with NDAs, like those working in the film or commercial space. Adobe quickly backpedaled, and even after all this, their AI bet hadn't shown much promise. The stock price was going sideways, and soon, downwards. And it was at this time that Figma entered the race, for real. On July 31st, 2025, Figma went public. Shares were listed at $33 per share at a $19.3 billion valuation. But the price didn't stay there. With so much demand, the price opened at $85 a share and jumped as high as $124. By the end of the day, Figma's valuation climbed to $68 billion, and they had raised $1.2 billion. To be fair, the share price has cooled substantially since then, but it was still a very successful IPO, and Figma wasn't the only one celebrating. Lina Khan wrote a piece saying, a great reminder that letting startups grow into independently successful businesses rather than be bought up by existing giants can generate enormous value. A win for employees, investors, innovation, and the public. It was the biggest IPO of the year, and in truth, it was all thanks to Adobe. Since going public, the share price has fallen over 50%, but in reality, it's not so dramatic. The offering was wildly overhyped. Investors placed 40 times more orders than shares available. There was a feeding frenzy, and early buyers bid up the price into the stratosphere. Luckily for Figma, this isn't unusual. Airbnb and Snowflake had similar IPOs, so Figma isn't too worried, but there's still plenty of work to do. Adobe is still a titan, and far, far bigger than Figma. But the goal here isn't actually for Figma to win and Adobe to die. Even if you hate Adobe or Figma, you can't deny that having both is good for everyone. Markets need competition. Capitalism is at its best when companies compete for customers, when they win by offering the best product and service, not by strangling their competition. Speaking of competing for customers, we're trying to cross 1 million subscribers by the end of this year, and we're over 80% there. If you hit subscribe right now, we might just be able to pull it off. If a company can keep a monopoly by just buying and shutting down competitors, they have no reason to make their products the best or try to win customers. Instead, they will try to extort them. They can do whatever they want at everyone's expense. With the rise of Figma, hopefully the industry has entered a new era, but only time will tell. Another fan favorite startup that's not having such a good time is Nothing Phone. Check out this video to learn more. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.